Glory to God. Over the years, I've taught on Jonah, the whale, the mushroom, Nineveh. The greatest revival that was ever recorded in the face of the earth was in Nineveh. I said to my wife, on an average, I preach 120 times a year. I calculated that out to about 4,000 messages over the years that I've preached. I really get tired of hearing myself, and I sometimes fear that I'm going to sound like a train that goes by your house and you're not going to hear me. But I take this very seriously, and I really feel I've got something for you this morning. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1 says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. You will pay. If you go the other direction, you will pay the fare thereof. And went down into it to go with them. Not the church, them, unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See, I don't understand how someone who knows God, seen the miracles, the demonstration of God, when God speaks to them, no, I'm going a different direction. I will not do that. I don't understand it. And then chapter 3, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the second time, say, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. Not that we just hear it, God, but somehow it affects us. It changes us. It causes us to go the right direction. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What I want you to see is in verse number 1 of that third chapter, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. The second time, he responded differently than the first time. The question is, why would God have to tell him twice? Why would God have to come to us twice? God has called Jonah in the first chapter to do a great work for him. Jonah was a well-known prophet among God's people. He was sort of a famous prophet. But two things are different with Jonah now. First, he is no longer a young man. He's seen a lot. I'm probably one of the oldest people in this congregation. There's a couple of ancients that are a little older than me. But why should things change when you get older? Why should you not respond the same way to God because you're a little older than when you first came into the church? When you first came into the church, you were so sensitive to the things of God. And God, what do you want me to do? But now, I'm preaching to me. Second, God is not sending him with a message to his people, but to sinners. It's so much easier to preach to saved people than it is to sinners. We can come week after week and we can hear messages and we can talk to each other about the goodness of God. But then once we step outside this building to those who really need this message, I think I'll go another direction. All right, well, pull in your feet. How many times has God called each of us to do something for him? It seems like in the beginning of our walk with God, we respond with no hesitation. But then something set in. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. We get too familiar with the things of God. We get too familiar with each other. We get too familiar with church. We already know what's going to happen before we have service. But we responded. Come to church. Change things in your life. Witness to those I send you to. Teach Sunday school, children's church, power hour. Teach home Bible studies. Yes, Lord, here am I. Jesus said, follow me. And two brothers, Peter and Andrew, dropped their nets and they started walking toward Jesus. No hesitation whatsoever. There was something that got a hold of their heart that says, I've got to follow this man. James and John waved goodbye to their father, Zebedee. You know, without any reflection on where they were going or what they were going to do, a tax collector who was doing real well for himself, a lucrative business, a little shady, but he said, no, I don't need that anymore. I want to follow this man. And each and every one of us had that experience. We walked into a Pentecostal church and we felt the call of God on us and we thought, there's something different than all of the church that I've experienced up until now. No begging, no persuasion, just an immediate response to the word. No toasters, no bicycles, Amen. No incentives. Amen. Remember how we felt? How we couldn't wait for church? I've talked to converts right after getting the Holy Ghost and they're, I've had this happen several times. Why don't we have more church? And then we talk to a prophet that gets a little older. Why do we have so much church? Every sermon was straight from heaven. Song services were always too short. I'll get rid of whatever you want me to get rid of, God. I'll lay it down. It doesn't matter. We have a new heart, we have a new mind, we have a new desire, and we have a new home. We have a place that we can go where we feel like we're in the heavenlies. But then our steps slowed, self-sufficiency sets in, and the cares of life crawl into our life. John the Revelator said in Revelation 2 and 4, you're doing good. But I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. The priorities changed. Well, isn't that what happened to Jonah? All his life, I don't know how many in here have been serving God for 30, 40 years, maybe even longer. All your life you've been faithful. All your life you've responded to the word of God. You've did what God wanted. And Jonah was the same. For many years, he had followed in all the directions that God had given him, preached exactly what God told him, regardless of how people responded, went where God told him to go, but this time, Jonah refused to do what God clearly told him to do. I think it's for the person sitting next to me. What happened to Jonah to cause him to go the opposite direction of what God said? Why is it in the Bible? Could it happen to us? You know, the name Jonah means dove. I was surprised at that yesterday when I looked it up. A dove has no gallbladder. It's the only animal on the face of the earth that has no gall in it. You know, gentle as a dove. But Jonah was full of gall. He was annoyed with everyone and everything that was going on in his life in later years. Just picky, you know. I can get to the place where you get older and you get set in your ways. And you find fault with everything. A dove always knows its way home. But Jonah got lost. He didn't know where his home was anymore or his church. You know, a dove mates for life. But Jonah was unfaithful to the one who was faithful to him. Jonah learned the same lesson as Peter. If you follow God at a distance, you will deny him every time. If you're not close to God when you're confronted by somebody who isn't in the church, you may not open your mouth or even tell them you are a Christian. We all have regrets and we all have what we call do-overs. I'd like another chance, but that shouldn't stop us from moving forward. He's always there to pick us up. Adam, hiding in shame. Where art thou, Adam? Elijah, hiding in a cave. What doest thou here? God says. Come out. This isn't where God wants you. Amen. Could he be speaking to us? Come out. This is not where God wants you. You had a different attitude towards God, his word. Amen. Take a look at Micah. Chapter 7. Verse number 18, it says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. We've got a God who delights in mercy. And if you think that your past is limited to your future, you're wrong, because God says, hey, you're my heritage. Amen. You turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We've got such a loving God. He's willing to overlook the missteps and bring us in to the fold one more time. Jonah was thrown overboard by his companions. They didn't even want to do that. But he insisted, I know why God is doing this, because it's me. It's not you, it's me. I haven't been living for God. I haven't been going in the right direction. So, you know, your best hope of surviving is to throw me overboard. At least he was honest. But the grace of God showed up in the form of a whale. It was a divine rescue mission to spare his life. You know, it wasn't a bad thing that he was swallowed by a whale. It was a good thing, because if the whale weren't there, he would have drowned. Right. Amen. Have any whales in your life? They show up to rescue lately. Most of us have, because it's the mercy of God. Perhaps it's a sickness. Is that there to destroy you? Perhaps not. Financial problems, family problems, could that be the the wail of problems in your life, all designed to get you to go in the right directions, to arrest your attention and say, hey, maybe I need to reevaluate here. You know, some of the worst things that could happen to us is everything is going well for us. All designed to cause us to call out from the belly of a whale. Now, we quote Romans 8 and 28 all of the time. We love that verse. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. To them who are the called, we're the called, according to God's purpose, not our purpose, according to God's purpose, God's direction, not our direction. Some people can get mad because God is protecting them and not giving them the foolish things that they've been asking for. But let's look at verse 29, because that's even more important. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And that doesn't mean that God selects certain people to go to heaven and certain people to go to hell, but it means to restrict freedom or limit in advancement. For whom God did foreknow, he knew us, he also said, no, I'm going to limit your freedom and your advancement. Why? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many creatures. Sometimes God puts us in a waiting room. Sometimes God puts us in a cocoon as a caterpillar to come out with wings and beauty and fly away and then maybe we go in a different direction because we're not getting the liberty that we wanted. So many times God restricts our freedom like he did in Jonah's case. He set up a whale of problems to stop us from going in the wrong direction. Guardrails, if you will. No, don't go that direction. If we insist, boy, it looks stormy out there. If we insist, maybe we'll be thrown overboard by some people that we don't even know. They attack us, you see. Which then causes us to cry out to God from the belly of our dilemmas. So are you ready for this? So that the word of the Lord came to us a second time. Ignored it the first time? I'll have that preacher give you the word again. God, you know that my attention, well, has drifted. But I do want to go in the right direction. Back to church, back to prayer, back to living 100% for God. Yeah, but I've done that for 40 years. Well, why would you quit now? You know, I should have been retired 10 years ago. Why quit now? 9 times in scriptures we read, again, the word of the Lord came to me. That's God's mercy. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Gideon, can God speak to you again? Mark, God wants to speak once again. Peter, boy, you messed up. But hear the word of the Lord again, because I've designed you to preach the best message on the day of Pentecost. Jonah, what are you doing? I'm making an altar in the belly of a whale. Because what other options do I have? And God may be saying, what are you doing? What other options do you have? But I've got to get right with God, and I've got to go in the right directions. But Jonah, you failed God. But I want to hear the word of God a second time. And this time, it's going to take me out of the belly of the whale, out of the storm, to do what God asked me in the first place. Listen, God will never give up on you. Never. We give up on people all the time. You know, I've called them. I try to get a hold of them. And then finally, we just say, that's it. Strike them off our list. Don't bother. But God won't, you see. We sing the song, he'll kick down the walls, light up the darkness, tear down the lives, shut the lion's mouth, all because he's coming after us, maybe a second time in our old age, or in our sickness, or in our dilemma, or in our frustration because things haven't gone well for us. Take a look at Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians 1 and 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There was a speaker Thursday and Friday that talked about the soon coming of the Lord. He said, I'm not saying this in order to scare you, but you need the information. We are closer than we could possibly imagine to Christ coming back, and I just don't be one of those virgins with very little oil left in my lamp. Hallelujah. George Washington, on horseback, faced his weary troops, battle-worn. They were poorly clothed, ill-equipped, malnourished, worn-out boots, worn-out clothes, and they were in the cold of a New Year's. These men had just performed an impossible feat to defeat the British at Trenton, but they had to finish what they started to get the victory. You have overcome so many things. I have overcome so many battles, so many difficulties. But we can get to the place where we're almost got the victory, but I'm a little worn out. Anybody here? A little worn out. Hallelujah. But Washington's biggest problem was that the next day his troops, well, their enlistment was expired. I hope no one here, their enlistment in the army of the Lord has expired. Each man was slated to go home, but Washington needed them to finish, to have a complete victory. So Washington asked those willing to stay and fight to step forward, and there was a rolling of the drums. The drums rolled, but no one moved. Not a single man stepped forward. As a pastor, I want this congregation to move forward. I know there are some of you that are so weary. You've gone through battle. You don't have much strength left. But with compassion, the future president looked into their weary eyes, and his words came to them a second time. Listen to his words that he recorded. My brave fellows, you have done all I asked you to do, and more than could be reasonably expected. But your country is at stake. Your wives, your houses, and all that you hold dear, You have worn yourselves out with fatigue and hardship, but we know not how to spare you. There's no turning back. If you will consent to stay 1 month longer, you will render that service to the cause of liberty and to your country, which you can never do under any other circumstances. At the close of his words, the drum rolled again a second time, and every man stepped forward a second time. Church, we have fought a good fight. We have kept the faith. It's no time to just stand there. We have to go forward. A preacher on Monday night, Brother Wayne Hunkley, preached a message on add-ons and how the Shunammite woman knew that the prophet was coming by her house occasionally, and she said to her husband, "We need to add on. We need to build him a little room, because if we do, he'll come to our house more often." If we'll just add on a little more than what we're doing right now, God will come to our house more often. There were people here on Friday night praying. You know, they didn't have to be here. We have established a Saturday morning prayer, and some of you have decided maybe that isn't even important anymore. But when you start to add on, God always responds and always comes to your house. You see, the battle isn't over. God needs every saint to step forward to hear the word of the Lord a second time. Joshua said it this way in Joshua 24 and 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve," because you're serving somebody, "whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The word of the Lord came to them a second time. Well, I don't know, Joshua, if we're really, you know, we've gone through it. We were out in the wilderness. We fought these battles, and now everything is wonderful in my life, you know. I've got the pension. I've got the house. I've got... Someone here this morning needs to know that God wants to help you start over. Many years after Jonah, a dove would descend from heaven in Matthew 3 and 16 and land on another man without sin. Unlike Jonah, this man was sinless, yet when Jesus chose to reveal his impending death, burial, and resurrection, he told the people to remember the signs of Jonah. Take a look at Matthew 12. Verse 38. "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.' But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after signs, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The man of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Jonas disappeared, and then he reappeared after 3 days. Jesus compared himself to the man who made a mistake. But he made it right. In the worst place he has ever been in his entire life. And if there's somebody here this morning in the worst place that they've ever been, hallelujah. Just kneel down in the belly of a whale and reach out to God in your darkness. And God is going to somehow rescue you. And you're going to hear the word of the Lord for the second time. And it's going to... it's going to touch you. It's going to give you life. It's going to give you hope. It's going to revive that calling in your life. And yes, every one of us have a calling in our life. It's not just occupy until you come. It's enjoy this thing. This is the greatest church on the face of the earth, and we can enjoy our relationship with Jesus. Enjoy in Jesus. Hallelujah. God called us once. He can call us again. He can call us a second time. And someone needs to step forward. Like Washington's men, we've got a general who is saying, will you just hang in there another month? Will you just hang in there for a little while yet? Because we're going to get the victory. This battle isn't over. And you've done everything I've asked you to do.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
But just stay a little while. Step forward. Would you stand with me, please? Preaching is not to entertain. It's to move us in the right direction, you see. And get a hold of our hearts. Would you step forward?